Everyone loves a good end-of-the-year list, and at Secrets of Staffing Success, we are no different. In this special episode, we look back at some of our favorite segments of 2019. Today's episode is brought to you by Haley Marketing Group. What does 2020 hold for your staffing company? Well, that depends. Will you take a wait-and-see attitude or take control of your future with a proactive approach? Our brand new ebook, 2020 Vision, Creating a Clear Path for Achieving Your Goals, is available to download at haleymarketing.com/2020vision. Or feel free to give us a call at 888-696-2900 to discuss your challenges and needs for the new year.
Welcome to Secrets of Staffing Success from Haley Marketing. Candid conversations with innovators and thought leaders in the staffing and recruiting industries. Your host for Secrets of Staffing Success is Todd Lewandowski. And now, here's Todd.
Welcome to our special 2019 recap episode of Secrets of Staffing Success. Our first segment that I wanted to highlight is from Kelly Merbler, president of the Florida Staffing Association. And we talked with Kelly about how do you keep recruiters engaged during a talent shortage like we're experiencing right now?
Such a great question. And it is the purpose of why I went out on my own to start what I do today. And I work with a lot of staffing firms, both small and large, in this area. And let's start with what does engagement really mean? And I'm a Gallup certified coach. So a lot of the data I share today will be what I've learned through the Gallup organization. But being engaged really is not just being happy at work. I think a lot of people think engagement means they go to work and they're just really happy. But true definition of engagement is really feeling an emotional connection to the work that you do, and you're connected with the mission, vision, and values of your organization, and you want to do good for the organization. So first of all, to establish engagement with employees as a staffing manager, you have to start with a question, not an assumption. And I speak through a lot of the mistakes I made in my career when I was given a responsibility of leading people. And what I share today is just very transparent, very truth spoken. But you have to ask the question and understand what your employees need first. You know, start with, what do you need? How can I best serve you? And what can I do to help you during this time, whether it's tough in staffing or how to take you to the next level, whatever that may be. But start with the question, because what I'll tell you is every single employee is very unique and they all see through a different lens and they have different needs. So don't assume that just by giving them a bonus or giving them a company trip, that that is going to keep them engaged. It has to start with the individual and understanding what will keep them engaged in their specific mindset.
Is there a right way or a wrong way to go about that too? Is this a conversation that needs to happen in person? Can you do, you know, for larger companies, can you do an online survey? You know, what's the right tactic there?
Good question. So a lot of the firms and staffing that I engage with, I always start with the question, do you have an engagement survey within your organization? And it's interesting because some of them will respond back with, no, we didn't want to spend the money on that. Well, let's look at that. Sometimes you've got to spend money in order to keep the people that are, they're good people in the organization. So start with an engagement survey. And whether it's in person, where I do a few things with staffing companies now where we do a live engagement survey with their employees and really understand what is it that they see as going well in the organization. It doesn't always mean things are going bad, but what do the employees see that are going really well that they want to capitalize on as employees and keep on growing? And then also, what are the gaps in the organization? The best person to ask where your organization stands are the people that are sitting within the organization doing the job. So why not go directly to the source of who sits in the job and not just your top performers? I think a lot of employers think, let me just talk to my top performers. you need to touch each and every person, because each and every person in your organization matters and contributes to the success of your firm. And if you're not asking those questions to everybody, then you're going to miss out on what they may see could be a key piece to employee engagement that you haven't even thought about.
And on the topic of keeping recruiters engaged, we spoke with John Ruffini from HealthTrust Workforce Solutions about the type of training we should be focusing on for recruiters in case there is a recession in 2020.
It's funny, we say the R word and the market continues to hit record highs. So I one day you're hearing people preach gloom and doom, and the next you're hearing people say, hey, everything's great. And it's kind of funny. It's good theater. Above and beyond anything else, Todd, whether it's a recession or a thriving market, recruiters just have to stay true to the fundamentals of the business and what works for them. If we do enter a recession, recruiters can still make money if they know how to recruit talent. And again, you might say, well, isn't that what recruiters do? But again, so many times, as you mentioned earlier, the investment is not made to actually train the recruiter on how to recruit. So, I've worked through a couple economic downturns and, thankfully have made it through and been successful. During those times, recruiters may have to work two or three times as hard to make the same amount of money. But if they know how to find talent, they'll always be a value add to their customers. And if they build strong relationships, they'll be value add. So that's the mindset they have to have. Those who build the relationships and take the mindset of, hey, it's going to be a give and take, not just I'm always looking to take from you, they'll be fine. You'll have to stay in touch with those clients and stay in touch with those candidates and touch them more during the economic downturn or recession than you do during a good economy, just to keep the relationship going. And they'll be pleasantly surprised, if you will, that you are calling to tell them about what's going on in the market, calling to help them work through a difficult hiring scenario that you have no vested interest in. Being that consultative partner, knowing that you may not get anything from it now, but when the economy comes back, and it always does, you'll be the one they remember. And that's the key. If you don't stay in touch with them, they're never going to remember you. But if you do, they will. So it's more important during bad times to stay in touch with your clients and candidates than it is in good times. But again, you got to know how to recruit, as opposed to posting ads and hoping that people send you their resume.
Yeah, and unfortunately, in a market like this, we tend to focus a lot on finding candidates and placing candidates. But as our good friend Scott Wintrip tells us in this next segment, it's really important to make sure that you're also selling in a candidate market.
We have to keep selling. ABS, always be selling. No, that's not the ABC that's been around for a long time, but ABS, always be selling. When you're not selling, it almost always catches up with you. And I say almost always because there's the rare instance, and I don't know that anybody really should be rolling the dice that they're one of those rare exceptions. It's a day coming in the future when that big customer goes away, or those five people who always buy stop buying. And I believe that one of the biggest mistakes that I'm watching firms make is they're way too focused on filling orders. They have so many orders. Yeah. They're so focused on filling them. We elevate customers to this premium status because they pay the money. Now, yes, customers are important, but I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that candidates are just a little bit more important. And that's because there aren't enough of them to go around, technically speaking, as we already talked about. So, we always have to be sourcing talent. So instead of focusing on filling orders, we should be focused on selling talent, pitching talent, talent strategy. So what that means is, yes, we're going to take that talent and we're going to fill orders, but we're going to take that talent to the marketplace. Because here's a mantra that I think I said the last time you and I were together and I've been saying for a long time. And it's this. It's another one of those patterns. When you have an order, you will fill it some of the time. There is no 100%. There are going to be times that one of your competitors fills that order. There's going to be times where the customer takes away the order. They decide not to fill it. There are going to be times where you just can't find somebody because the skill set's unrealistic. You're not going to fill every order. So You have orders, you're not always going to fill them. But if you have a talented person, you will always, always, always find them a job if you do the right things. You will always find them a job. There's always somebody, regardless of economic conditions, who needs that talented person. And why? Because there aren't enough of those high quality people. That's where the real shortage is, Todd, is there are actually more jobs than qualified people to fill them. Now, yes, you're not trying to fill all of those jobs as we talked about, but this is why a talent strategy versus an order filling strategy is important. And this is why we must always be selling. If we are constantly cultivating talent, selling that talent, this is what creates sustainability. This is what creates growth. This is what creates higher margins across the board, all over the world.
And speaking of selling, this was probably one of my favorite segments from 2019. I was talking with Mike Wiley from McGrath Systems, and we were talking about, is it ever okay to say no to a client?
Todd, we do it all the time. And I would much rather be in a situation to say no to the business that doesn't fit than accept anything. You've got way too many pitfalls in our industry. You have folks that want to offload risk and essentially put temps in to the more quote unquote riskier roles, which increases our exposure. You have clients that, aren't the most, astute at just recognizing that they've got to put some training into these folks and help them get acclimated into a new workforce and a work environment. I'm perfectly fine walking away from business that doesn't fit. Clients that tell us that, no, I can't increase my bill rate or I can't increase the pay rate to these individuals, and the pay rate is below market, we're going to walk from that. There's no reason for us to sit and just spin our wheels when we know that position is going to continue to be open, or it's going to be constant rework by filling it. The person doesn't work out, backfilling it, and you just rinse and repeat that over and over and over again. That's just going to cost us time and money in the long run. Yeah. So I'd much rather walk from quasi opportunities and wait for the ones that are just a good fit. The management team on the other side, is engaged. They have skin in the game. We all want to do this the right way. And, those are the clients that we just tend to do really well with.
Well, in the 2.5 years that we've been doing this podcast, probably one of the most common discussion points is the candidate experience. And we had Lauren Lewis from Staff Buffalo on to talk about and give some great examples of how they go above and beyond for their candidates and the impact that it has on their business.
We've had a lot of candidates that we worked with. For example, back in the winter, okay, it's the end of February, so it's still winter in Buffalo.
But right.
It was a really, really snowy like January, and we had a candidate reach out to us to use the interview workshop. And he had a couple big interviews coming up, and Maggie and I worked with him on a Saturday during a snowstorm on his interview skills so that he could nail his interviews. And it showed a lot for him too. Like he was really, excited about these interviews and wanted to put his best foot forward. So he drove in through the snow to sit down with us to practice interviewing. And we asked him to keep in touch with us after the interviews, let us know how they went. And one of the hiring managers he was interviewing with said, that was the best interview they've seen.
Wow.
And a lot of it was attributed to the work he put in to practicing and being the best candidate he could be in front of the interviewers. And he told us his biggest weakness was interviewing. So we're like, oh my gosh, no one would ever say that. But like, if you say that interview, tell them why, or how you're trying to improve on that. Like tell them you drove in the snow on Saturday and sat down to do an interview workshop to practice for this interview because that's how much the job meant to you. So the things like that really kind of help, go a long way with the candidates. And it's great when you hear back from them that it really helped them feel confident in an interview and, hopefully land that job.
And I think it's those little things that you do that actually brings in a higher quality of candidate, because I can't imagine how many times a day candidate doesn't show up for an interview with our staffing firms across the country. You know, what that number is probably immeasurable. But here's somebody who not only wanted to come in, but wanted to come in, drive through a snowstorm on a Saturday to really just not even to get a job, but to just improve his skills to get the job. So I think all those little things that you guys are doing right now really go a long way to bringing in quality candidates like that.
Oh, absolutely. We had someone reach out to us as well today from Austin, Texas for the resume formatting service. So, you know, some of the things we do can be in person at our office, but we have a lot of services that we provide that can be done over a phone or just, you know, online too, to help provide, again, those resources to job seekers that maybe we can't place at a company, but we want to help them land their next job. And our goal is to make, you know, we have it right on our website. We love to make people happy. And so if we can make people happy in one way or another, like, that's a win.
The final two segments I wanted to include highlight how some of our clients have gotten over some deficiencies. And we're going to start with Scott Samuels from Horizon Hospitality. And Scott talks about how they built their online reputation from a few bad reviews to a 4.8 star rating.
Yeah, that's been a big focus of ours. And we're talking on the candidate side, of because we also obviously value our clients and company testimonials. But from a candidate standpoint, we realize that, you know, a candidate is a future client and that we have to be taking care of those individuals at the highest level. And the only way with our team as large as it is now that we can maintain a check and balance was to create a system through a reputation management campaign where when we work with a candidate, they're sent an evaluation form about their experience with us every month, and they're asked to rate us. And it gives us the ability to understand where we succeeded, where we may have failed, and also keeps our team members accountable to making sure they give a good experience to every candidate that we interact with, because if they don't, it's going to come back in a review, and the reviews all come to me. I read them all. We'll respond back to candidates that our review may not be that favorable with, and we'll do some troubleshooting if we have issues that are consistent. So it's been a great check and balance system for us, but you know, we put such a large emphasis on taking care of all of our interactions with candidates. It's really important.
Yeah, I was going to say something like that probably is a great basis for building your culture and letting your team know, hey, this is of utmost importance to us. And so everything that you do needs to be focused on this. So have you guys built your culture around that?
Yes. And, you know, the culture is treating others, you know, with the platinum rule, treat others the way they want to be treated, but treat them with respect. Because again, you know, our reputation is everything to us. And a bad review can devastate a culture, a company. And I don't think everybody realizes the impact of those reviews. And sometimes you can't do anything about them, you know, especially things that come from Yelp. You have very little control over what happens with that. So, you know, your reputation is everything. We sell our services based upon how our clients talk about us. And so I think that it's really critical that everybody in every interaction, you know, is taken at the highest level. We recognize our team members. And the other thing about reviews is that when people are looking at our firm as an employer of choice, and when they're looking at, should I work for Horizon Hospitality, where's the first place they're going to go to find that out? Right. It's going to be on Glassdoor. We've got to make sure that we're taking care of the people that we have in our current team, and that's really by embedding a culture that, you know, the analogy, work hard, play hard. We work hard. This is obviously an industry that has its challenges and its ups and downs. And so I think one of the keys is keeping things light and having fun while you're at work. And so our culture it revolves around a lot of incentive contests, a lot of team incentive contests. At the end of the year, one of our the event that everybody looks forward to the most is we have a holiday auction where it's an incentive contest where you earn points based on performance criteria. And at the end of the quarter, we go out and purchase about $3,000 worth of holiday gifts. And we have a live auction. And based on your points, which translate into dollars, people bid on these gifts. And it's like a holiday party, holiday auction. I'm the auctioneer, which is pretty cool. And it's just a lot of fun. So everything we do is striving for creating a culture where not only we're going to, you know, enjoy each other's company, but also make sure that we're building something that's sustainable and that's going to grow. And we've been very fortunate. We have very low turnover. We provide excellent training and education and resources. And it's all about learning. There's always ways to improve what you're doing, and we've got to be at the cutting edge of that.
You mentioned the bad reviews, and probably the number one question we get from our clients when it comes to reputation management is, uh-oh, I have a bad review. What do I do? Do I ignore it? Do I delete it? Do I, you know, approach it head on? What's your process internally there at Horizon when a bad review does come up online?
Well, I think it depends on where it's coming up, because, you know, there's some thought process that you don't want to respond to a review, especially on Yelp. I mean, my whole, you know, the culture we've created is that we want to make sure we're aware of when we fail and make sure that we address those internally and externally. So, it's more related to where the review is to determine the next step. I mean, I'm more into being proactive and hitting it head on. But again, you know, it could get into a war online of somebody says something about you, you say something back. I mean, right. It's really hard to determine what the best course of action is. I think what you want to do as a employer is that you want your positive reviews to, be much greater than any negative reviews you have. Because everybody, I mean, you're not perfect, and everybody's going to get a negative review from time to time. But if it's just one, you know, negative review of many positive reviews, it's not as big of an impact.
And our final segment is probably one of my favorite success stories that we have featured on this podcast. And it comes from Rob and me at Me Derby. And in this segment, you're going to learn how Robin built their social media following from 200 people to 20,000 people.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing. And it happened so organically. I think if you're putting out good content, that people want to follow you. So in addition to the fact that everybody has their own right connects, that 80,000, 90,000 that I mentioned, so that everybody in the team, myself included, when you're talking to somebody, you know, Todd, if we're not connected on LinkedIn, we need to be, right? So after, you know, this, I'm going to go in and make sure we are, send you an invite. I think it's almost standard operating procedure these days to connect with people that you're talking to professionally. And frankly, using LinkedIn as a, you know, I'm going to look at their site, their LinkedIn profile before I get on the phone with somebody, so I have context about who they are. But building our social media followers on our LinkedIn page was something different. So as of today, we have 20,548. And we have made a concerted effort to build followers, but it's all been providing content to attract curious and interested staffing and workforce solutions professionals to us. And I think it circles back to your original question on specialization. So our commitment is to build community in our staffing ecosystem that people find value in. They're not going to follow you if they don't find value.
Right.
And it works because we specialize. I think the specialization is the key. It works because we share our unique perspective on topics of the day, on issues that our staffing community care about. And I think people care about what we think, right? And so, you know, what we share is unique to what we think is important. But what we think is important is really so much of an indication of who we are. And it just feels like we're giving back. And every one of us is so passionate and excited and happy to be part of this great industry that continues to grow exponentially every year, that fuels the American workforce by creating jobs for people, but one job at a time across every industry across the United States. And really, that's what every one of us do. Every company, every staffing professional, that's what we do. And, you know, I just think it's such important and good work. And it's the, you know, going back to the social media followers, it's happened organically, but it's, I'm 100% sure it's because of the content strategy.
Well, that'll do it for this special look back at our favorite segments of 2019. I want to thank all of our guests for taking the time this year to share their secrets of staffing success. I also want to thank Brad Biley and Matt Lozar for introducing the insights version of Secrets of Staffing Success. And if you haven't checked that out, they do a really great job every episode of giving you some wonderful take-home values, some take-home tips that you can implement in your own marketing strategies for your staffing and recruiting firm. And finally, of course, I want to thank all of you, our listeners, who have made this podcast a huge success. Thank you for all of the listens, and thank you for sharing with all of your colleagues. You really make what we do worthwhile, and we thank you so much for that. Of course, you can always find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, the podcast app on your Apple device, and all of our episodes are at HaleyMarketing.com. We look forward to sharing more of our Secrets of Staffing Success with you in 2020. Thanks for listening.